I'd like to continue, and I won't change the title on the board of I Heard. Take a little different direction here, and I could retitle it, but really it was a continuation of that burden. And Renee had made mention to me just this afternoon. She said, you know, the message, it's kind of hard for preachers to preach what I have to share with you this afternoon. But she said, but who's going to do it? And so I'd like to share some things from the Scripture for your consideration. I'd like to begin in the Old Testament, and keeping in mind what we heard this morning, I'd like to begin in the book of Deuteronomy in the 17th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 17, we'll begin reading with verse 6. It says here, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. The hands of the witness shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people, so thou shalt put the evil away from among you. What he is addressing here in the Old Testament was that for those that have been caught, if you will, those that have been committing sin in their life, those that have been violating the law of God, and they were brought to the tribunal, brought to judgment, he said it needs to be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And one is to understand that he was not talking about someone that had heard. You see, in a court of law, even today, you don't parade witnesses on the stand that said, yes, I heard that Mr. Joe over here, that he did such and such. They are looking for eyewitnesses. People that had first-hand experience to know this is what they did and it was a violation of the law. Wasn't talking about a gray area. Wasn't talking about an area that they did something a little different than I would do it. But he was talking about they violated the law and I saw them violate it. And when they were brought to justice, the law here that God was speaking of, he said, at the mouth of two witnesses or three shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But if there's just one witness, he shall not be put to death. And we could say, but that's not fair because I know he did this. I know he committed a transgression. Now folks, understand something. Let's bring this down where we live. We're not talking about a perceived transgression. We're not talking about a difference of character. We're not talking about a difference of personality. We're not talking about a difference of raising, a difference of perspective. We are talking about a clear violation of the law that is worthy of death. And he said, if there is one that sees that kind of violation and there is only one eyewitness, that person needs to be let go free as if they had never committed a transgression. Because it needs to be verified by people who saw, who knew. It went beyond now a mob mentality of the facts as the way we see it, but it went beyond that we know the motive, we know what was behind it, and it was a transgression of the law. And when that is there, if there are two or three witnesses, it says then they are to be worthy of death. Do you know eyewitnesses, even today, when there are two or three or more eyewitnesses, do you know when the police are out investigating, they try to keep the eyewitnesses apart from each other? You know the reason for that? It's because of influence. It's because that if they start talking, you know, eyewitnesses, apparently, I understand, eyewitnesses are actually pretty unreliable. Even those that saw, even those that were involved, pretty unreliable. Because a lot of times they had a perspective. They have a vantage point. I have something at home and I actually thought about bringing it and I forgot. But have you all ever seen that picture of a woman? It's a picture of a woman. I've had it here before, I think, some children activities. And if you look at it, you can see a woman. It's supposed to be a beautiful woman, I think. It's her face. And there's a woman there that you see the picture of it. But if you look at it a little bit differently, if you turn it the other way, you see a picture of a witch. Well, yes. And I have another picture just like it. If you look at it, it's the head of a horse.
And if you turn it the other direction, it's a frog. But once you see the horse, you just see a horse upside down or sideways. But if you actually start thinking, okay, there's something else here, and look at it, it's very clear as a frog. But people sometimes can see it and they say, it's a horse. And someone says, it's a frog. And you know what? They're both right from their perspective. So we have to be careful even when we think we have the facts. And we know we have to be careful because perspective, vantage point, has a lot to do with it. Now here he's saying, I mentioned eyewitnesses being kept separate because you say, well, what were they wearing? They robbed a bank and we saw them coming out of the bank. You get a bunch of eyewitnesses together before they're interviewed and they start talking, they will come up with a story and they will all agree. Because, no, I thought he had red hair. Someone says, well, I thought it was blonde. And someone else says, well, I thought it was black. That happens with eyewitnesses. You know that? And they start talking about it, and pretty soon they'll come to an agreement together. And it may be the wrong agreement, but they have validated their opinions now. They were eyewitnesses. Be careful. See, there's a caution here. And now when it comes to the... So be careful about collaboration, a perspective. Collaboration that we can come to a conclusion based on, again, going back to what we ended with, going back to our sympathies and our allegiances. Do you know I will view my brother and my sister differently than you will? Because I have a vested interest in them and you don't. Maybe a little bit, but I've got more. I'm going to view it differently because of love. And you can say, yes, but they did such and such. I'm going to say, hold on a minute. I know them. I know who they are. They didn't do that or they didn't mean that. He said, but I saw it. No, but I know them. I know better. Have you talked to them? Well, no. I heard. Okay. You see where there's a caution then? And we can go with someone again that we can collaborate with someone else. And they say, he did that. His brother Michael's brother. Yeah, that's right. He did it. And I'm saying, wait, hold on a minute. I know there's something else going on here that you may not be aware of. So what he said here was, if you're going to, someone's going to be put to death because of a violation of the law, he said, it needs to be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. They saw it, experienced it independently, and this is what it says in verse 7. Did you get it? It says, the hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death. This is what it means. If you're going to accuse someone of a crime that is going to destroy their reputation, you better be willing to pick up the first stone in public and throw the stone and say, I saw it and I'm convinced of it enough that I'm willing to destroy it. That's what the law was. That's what it means to be a witness. If you're going to stand and be a witness against someone, then you're going to be the first one to pick up a stone and put him to death, and then everybody else can join in the stoning. That was physical. That was Old Testament. That was physically what happened. If you were an eyewitness and you believed it enough, then you were going to have to publicly pick up the stone and cast the first stone. How does that apply to us today? I heard, or I saw, and I think I know what happened. Better be careful. Are you willing to pick up a stone and destroy someone because of what you think happened? Is that a fair question? Old Testament was, you'll be the first. Over in Deuteronomy, a little bit more on that. In the 19th chapter, in the 15th verse, it says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. In other words, there needs to be someone that I saw and I know. And keep in mind, and I believe it's important, and again, I know if we bring it down home to where we live, he's talking about sin here. He's talking about if you're going to bring someone to court and make an accusation, don't do it based on your perception. Don't do it. You're going to destroy them. They're going to be put to death. So be careful the words that you speak. Because the words that people speak, folks, can destroy people. There have been many people's reputations destroyed because of talk.
Many people's reputation. There have been many ministers' reputations destroyed because of talk. And my charge to you this afternoon is, if you're going to do that, be willing to pick up the stone and do it in public. Be willing to believe it enough that you're willing to go to bat. It's a violation. It is a sin. It was wrong. But if you can't do that, the scripture says, what do we do? How are we operating under the umbrella of love? There are things I will acknowledge to you this afternoon. There are things that I know about people that I disagree with. Things that I think they maybe should have done differently. But I'm not willing to pick up a stone and I'm not willing to destroy their reputation. Because I have confidence. I received another call just a while back and it was someone complaining about their pastor. And they told me what they did, and it involved family. You know how that starts getting. Don't touch family. You know, that just happens, doesn't it? You start touching family, you're playing with fire. Well, it was involved family. And I had enough confidence in the brother to know there's got to be more going on than what I'm hearing. But it wasn't important enough to me to destroy confidences, to pick up the phone and call my brother and say, hey, brother, do minister, wasn't my fleshly brother, and say, I got a complaint. I got a call. This is what I heard you did. Sister Tammy mentioned, was it the scripture this morning or it was mentioned about you think the best, you believe the best, you hope for the best, until there is solid reason to be convinced that there was a sin committed. And if it wasn't a sin, be careful about your talk. Be careful about the things that we say. This does not touch all of us. Are there not areas, Lord, help me to be careful? Lord, help me to watch a little bit more. I think I even shared a while back we were going somewhere and I just made popped off and made a smart comment to Renee. It wasn't about her, but it was about a situation. And I just made kind of one of those, you know, you comment husband-wife type thing, but my children were in the vehicle. And they picked right up on it, and they had their own observations and perceptions, and they started sharing. I thought, I made a mistake. Shouldn't have done that. You see, you shouldn't have said what I did, because now then they heard me say it, and they already saw things, but they're adding their two cents, and they might not have the love and the grace that I find in my own life. Parents, we've got to be careful. We should not give our children those kinds of battles to fight if we're not willing to pick up a stone because of our perception of something. You better lay it down and go forward with respect and love. If noteworthy, I said that I got that call. Incidentally, later on, I was in communication with a brother, and he called me, I believe, and he told me, because he knew who I'd been talking to. You know, so he probably knew what I'd been hearing. And he brought it up and explained, and I still think he probably made some mistakes, but you know what? I have confidence in his life. I have confidence that he didn't, you know, maybe could have done a little bit differently, but haven't we all been there? So what are we going to do? Are we going to cast stones? Are we going to talk about it? We can go out saying, well, I heard, and pretty soon we could undermine people's confidences in that brother's ministry, and when he gets up to preach, guess what's on our mind? Who has that kind of responsibility? So he said here then, reading on, at the mouth of two or three witnesses shall the matter be established. Now this is what happens. He said, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition. In other words, we're going to go beyond just what we heard on one side. We're going to go beyond sympathies. We're going to go beyond personality differences. And we're going to make an inquisition because now there's sin. We're talking about sin, folks. We're saying there was a sin committed. And now he said there's a difference in what's being said here. And he said, behold, if a witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he thought to have done unto his brother. That's pretty severe, isn't it? If you're willing to go out and pick up a stone and say, this man has sinned, he did wrong, and I'm casting and I'm making the charge, be willing to pick up a stone. But also know this, if it's a false witness, in the Old Testament it was if you testify to something that's really not accurate, then you're going to be put to death by stone. The same thing that you're trying to get on your brother, you are going to be judged and the penalty is going to be the same to you. Do you know in the Old Testament what a caution those people must have lived on before they opened their mouth idly? They were just as human as we are. We say, but we're under grace. Thank the Lord for that. But let's live it then. Let's be careful. Let's realize that these precepts of diligence and carefulness in our talk and in our judgments, in our opinions, words have the power to destroy. And there have been many people that have been destroyed because false witnesses. I heard or I saw. But again, you might have been seeing the frog, but really there was a horse. And we didn't take the time to get to the bottom to see what really was this. Do you see how we have to be careful, folks? And you may say, what does this have to do with us? This is life. This has to do with our relationships this afternoon. This has to do with our relationships in the body of Christ. And I'm going to go a step further and say we are living in a time where it has things to do with the relationship with the ministry. The devil's fighting hard, and there are those that are being called into question. There are those that a lot can be said, but I will tell you this. There are some things that I may not agree with, and it's wrong, and I can't go there. But again, if my approach is not with the spirit of humility, then I'm no better off. I can't go along with someone that's compromised truth. But nor can I get on the bandwagon of someone that has a pushy, carnal spirit and is ready to... I can't go along with that either. And that means sometimes that you're left right in the middle, getting it from both sides. Be on the Lord's side. It means then that we need to be careful in what we just readily receive because I heard. But be careful. And when it comes time to come to the judgment at times like this, it's going to be done with the spirit of love. It's going to be done with humility. Number one, I said this morning, for the purpose of restoration and reconciliation. And when that cannot be done, there is a place of judgment. But judgment never negates humility. It never negates the fact that, brother, there's a place I can't walk with you any longer, but no, I love you and I care for you and I've done everything I could to see this restored. You see, that's where the Lord can bless folks. But it ought to put a caution upon us when we recognize the Old Testament penalties. Folks, it's dangerous to speak against the ministry. It's a dame, and this is why, Renee said, it's difficult for a minister to preach these kinds of things. But where are you hearing it? It's dangerous to make an accusation because of your perception or my perception, even if I have thought I validated it with someone else. It's a dangerous thing. The scripture says it this way, 1 Timothy 5:19. He said, receive not an accusation against an elder, but before two or three witnesses. An accusation of what? What are we willing to go to battle for, folks? Are we willing to allow the enemy to divide over differences of background? Are we willing for the enemy to divide over differences of personality? Or is it going to be when it's an issue of sin? An issue of sin, even, he said, by two or three witnesses. But how much more if it's difference, perspective, personality, background, culture, are we willing to destroy our brothers and our sisters? over something short of sin? He said, don't receive it. Don't receive an accusation. Don't accept it. Don't embrace it. He didn't say don't hear it out, but you don't accept that thing as fact or as truth until we go back through the message this morning, see, and really find out and seek it out. Be careful not to receive it. You see, the Romans in Rome, and there's a reference to this in the passage of Scripture. There was for a Roman to be brought to court, to be accused, it just took one. If it was a plebe, the plebeian, it was a common man. One person can say, you know, this person, they robbed the bank. You know, they stole the horse. But if it was a senator, it had to be two or three eyewitnesses that it went beyond perception. It went beyond what they heard. It went beyond a validation of common life people or thinking or family. It was these are the facts, and I'm willing to pick up a stone over it, and I'll be the first to slay. Well, it took two or three if it was a senator. This is what Paul is addressing when he said, don't receive an accusation against an elder. An elder is a minister of the Word of God. And the reason is this. When an accusation is laid at the foot of a minister, the minister, just like a senator was, it's a parallel example here. A minister is there to someone whose job is to instruct, it's to encourage, it's to correct, it's to reprove, and it's to rebuke. And so then, if there is an accusation, false though it may be, true though it may be, now is this an accusation of sin? Or is it difference, you know, a place that maybe they should have made some mistake? Or is it a difference of sin? So don't receive it. We're talking about sin here, because the next verse he talks about, if it's sin, then you make that known when a proper procedure is followed. But he said, if you undermine that kind of authority, then what do we think? Going back, what do our children think when we go to camp meeting and brother so-and-so gets up and like, I heard mom and dad talk about them. Where's the confidence? Where, if they try to reprove or do some correcting, it's like, well, whatever. You know what they did. It means nothing. And that's why Paul was saying, you don't receive those kinds of accusations. Don't receive them. Folks, this is Bible truth. And I believe these are areas that probably a lot of times we don't hear enough about because it's difficult for the ministry to talk about it. But folks, we need it. But more than needing to hear it, say, Lord, help us to live it. There are things this morning, I talked about talking to family. If I said everything I knew to family, and then they talked to their family, because that's family, pretty soon we all know it. What have we just done? We have violated the Scripture. We violated the Scripture. And there's irreparable damage that is done by it, and it can take a long time, if ever, those breaches can be repaired. So what are we going to do with it this afternoon? It starts when you know you have injured someone to go back and say, I'm sorry. There's an answer. There's a way back. You can never, when words come out of our mouth, folks, we can never get them all back. It's like throwing something to the wind. But there is a place through humility to be willing to acknowledge, you know, I did this wrong, or I handled that wrong, or I spoke some things, and I'm sorry. He's talking about sin here then. We want to be careful not to receive that, because it can undermine that. You know, the devil would like to undermine the authority of every single minister in the camp of the saints. Do you want me to go through a list through everything that I've heard about every minister? We need to start with the ministers. Can we do that? Would y'all enjoy that? I wouldn't. And you know what? If I did that, I would be guilty. There are things I know in confidence between a husband and wife. There are things that can be discussed. There can be things to talk about. But I want to tell you, there are things I can't tell my brother and my sister. There are things I don't talk about with my mom and my dad because it could serve to undermine. If I'm not willing to cast the first stone, if I'm not willing to publicly deal with the situation and find, because see, I have my perception just like anybody else. He said, you don't receive an accusation. Don't entertain it. Don't sit. This is not dinner table talk, folks. You understand? So be careful about that. Because then who's guilty of tearing down and destroying the reputation of someone that it takes away the authority that they have from preaching the Word of God? See, we could do that with about everybody. Do you know that? We could go through a congregation and tear down everybody we could by perceptions, or this is what I think, or this is... And folks, that would be wrong. But it is doubly wrong to do that to a minister. Receive it not, he said. He went on to say over in Matthew 18, I'm going to conclude with this. This scripture will be the last scripture. You know the scripture that said, if a brother trespass against you, how did he say to handle it? Go tell the church? Well, I'm just talking to my family. Well, isn't that the church? To a large extent, he said, if your brother trespass, and you know what a trespass is here? It's more than just an offense. We're not talking about something that I was offended over. It's not talking about, well, they kind of hurt my feelings. That's not what he's talking about when he said, if your brother trespass against you. He's talking about an impeachable offense. Sin. Isn't sin an impeachable offense? So he said, go to your brother, you and him alone. And he said, if he will hear thee, you've gained your brother. That's the purpose. If there's going to be talk, it's for the purpose of restoring. It's for the purpose of bringing back unity where there was division or problem. But he went on to say then, but if he won't hear you, take with him one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So now it's not just your perception, because maybe you're still wrong. It's not a time to get all my friends together and say, hey, this brother's a problem. I'm going to go get people that will agree with me. I want to tell you something. In a difficulty or problem, if your heart is right, you don't care who's there, just so long as they're right before God and willing to tell the truth in love and humility. If you're right with God, let it come. That's all right. It becomes political when you begin to see factions in the body of Christ and you see friends aligning themselves together. Do you agree with it? Do you know Trident gum? It says, what is it? 2 out of every 3 dentists recommend that gum. Do you think the dentists really are jumping up and down saying, oh, please chew Trident? I remember when I was in elementary school, and I'm not putting this out as fact. Now I'm doing the very thing. I heard this, okay? I heard this. But I remember a dentist coming to class, and he told us what those companies do is they send out, not looking for recommendations, they just send out surveys to dentists. And they find out how many check Trident. And then they take those dentists and send out for recommendations. So they can get the result they want. And then they can legally say 2 out of every 3 dentists recommend.
You can do whatever you want with statistics. Point being, go to your brother first. If you have a problem, don't go tell people. Go to your brother. Have we all always done that? Is that a fair question? I remember a number of years ago, I had a problem with something, and I did not follow what I'm telling you today. And it was not a personal offense, but it was something I felt like was not right. And I had mentioned, actually, Brother Tony, I'd mentioned it to Brother Tony. I told him about it. And he went and told the other person. I need to be careful. I think he did.
It wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't a bad thing. But later on then, you know, I realized, you know what, I was wrong in that, and I should have gone directly to the brother. I should have gone right to him and said, brother, I'm having difficulty with this. But he heard about it from Brother Tony. You know what, that's not even right for me to say that.
Brother Tony didn't do wrong. I'm just saying that it was something I did wrong. It was years and years ago. And I should have handled it differently. But I thought, do you know what? That's what the Lord wants. And people say, well, it's not a personal offense, so that's different. There's too many jumping on the different bandwagon today, folks. All right? Too many people saying, well, this is different. If you have an offense, go to your brother. And if you're not willing to go to your brother alone, it's not time to go to two or three. It's not time to go to the church. It seems like the church is finding out too much stuff before someone has gone to sit down with their brother that's been offended. I don't believe the Lord's pleased with that, folks. Go to your brother alone, and for the purpose of restoring, and then take two or three, that it can be established, that motivations can be established, that we can really establish that there was a transgression. You see, there's a difference. We're talking about sin now. That there's a sin involved. It's not a different. It's not a gray area. It's not an area. Should have been more careful. It's sin. And if you can't do that, you need to go pray about it and love and forgive your brother. But yet, how many people have been destroyed over this thing? He said, and then if they won't hear you, see, it's big enough deal that you go tell the church that we can't fellowship this because of this. Folks, there is a time and a place for that to happen. And when it happens, I want to caution you, be careful about jumping on the ministers that are involved when they do bring it to the church, okay? But I also want to be sure that the biblical process has been followed. That it's been followed, and because sometimes you may hear things were done, and you don't know all the, we don't know all the facts either, and you don't know what led up to that point, see? So we have to be very careful. So what do you think? Opinions formed, perceptions solidified. But Lord, help us to be careful to follow the word in love, in our conduct, and maybe we be careful with our words. Be careful with what we hear. Be careful even with our eyewitness. That we be cautious, that we operate and conduct ourselves under the authority and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen.